Hi, I'm Liz Larson.
And I'm Bill McKenna. We're the hosts of the New Life Perspectives radio show.
We're also the creators of the Cogno Movement System, where we help you rewire your nervous system so you can rewire your reality.
Join us each week for great conversations, amazing guests, and cutting-edge information on health, consciousness, and the keys to transformation.
Please be advised, in this episode, we'll be talking about some adult topics, including physical abuse, self-harm, war, and Nazis. Please use your own discretion when listening or viewing this episode. Hey, everybody. Welcome to our Christmas episode here on the UK Health Radio Network. I'm Liz Larson, and I'm here with Bill McKenna this week. Hey, Bill.
Hi there.
And Bill and I, we took an internal vote, and we wanted to share our most inspirational story of the year. Now, this is a hard competition because we hear the most extraordinary, the most inspirational stories week after week after week. Our practitioners share them, you know, in our monthly meetings, and we hear from them privately. So for this one to say it's our most inspirational, it takes a lot, and it really, really is. So our guest today is Angelica Schaefer. Hi, Angelica.
Hi.
And before Angelica introduces herself, I want to share with you guys that Angelica is one of our practitioners, and this is a very personal story that has very much to do with what happened in the Nazi era Germany all the way through to today. And it's a story that's not only about her, but about her sister and about the people that they are serving in the most beautiful way today. So welcome, Angelica.
Thank you so much. And I just want to start with that I will be eternally grateful for you, Bill, and you, Liz, for bringing this work into this world, because it's just like putting a ripple into the pond of the world, and it just keeps rippling out, doing wonderful stuff. And it's the one thing I was looking my whole life for, something that would help humanity heal from their intense suffering, pain, and trauma. And it's just like amazing. It can't be expressed with words. So
I was just going to say that for Bill and I, you know, you are such a joy, such a light in our lives too. So we just wanted to throw it back to you. Isn't that true, Bill?
Thanks.
Yes. Yeah. And if you ever get the chance, if you're listening to this, if you ever get the chance to meet her in person and give her a hug, you'll know what we mean. The word light being, you know, comes to mind. Mm-hmm. You know, you can really feel it in her presence. It's not just talk. She's living a lot of the things that we talk about. And she spent a lifetime of work. I mean, it's not like she wasn't trying. She has been a person that's been pursuing, a spiritual seeker, and been trying for a long time. So for her to say that what she said about the work is saying a lot.
Yeah.
So,
thank you, Bill. So what happened is I don't believe we can come to the light in us that we really are in our essence without going through the darkness. So Cogno Movement has given me the ability and the confidence to go through any darkness that arises in myself that life seems to trigger. I'm so open now to let it explode in me like a thunderstorm in nature. Nature has thunderstorms. It releases the pent-up pressure. And I believe if we can do that in a healthy way without harming each other and projecting that on others, this world would be a completely transformed place. So it's not that I'm, you know, a being of light. The light is within me, but it's my job to do the difficult and courageous work of uncovering that light, because it's been buried by layers and layers and layers of trauma and craziness and conflict. And so that's been my lifelong work. What I do outwardly, I am passionate about sharing inspiration and helping others to get free. So my whole passion that drives me from within is to set the prisoners free. I feel like we've all been prisoners of the little small programmed, conditioned egoic mind that we couldn't get out of. And so I was searching forever for with using every tool I could find that was helpful. I also do inspirational music, and it was the music that sort of came to me, really, that just comes from the pure spirit that has helped me through it all. And so I do music, I coach people, I am passionate about transformation, I teach, and I do programs for individuals and groups. But the main theme is sharing inspiration and transformation of the material that we humans have taken on to transform, to show ourselves and each other how to transform it. So for the first time in my life, I am all in. My whole life, I wanted to get out of this earth. I felt it was a crazy making place. I really wanted to get out of life. It was too painful for me. And to come to a place where I say, I am completely here. Just the other morning, I did a cognitive movement session with myself because I had grief come up. I had seven close friends die this year, and two more are on their way with stage 4 cancer. And I had a temper tantrum with Creator. And I used my ball and my eyes, and I said, how come you are making a being that has such longing for perfection and for true love and beauty and light, and yet so much capacity for error and pain? That is all messed up. I don't like it. And I just had a big temper tantrum, and I just let it rip, and I cried. And then what happened? Somehow the question arose in me, if you could go off this world, like I always wanted in the past, go to a world that is perfect, that is absolutely amazing, would you just leave? Would you go? And the answer was no. I want to be here. I want to be a part of this, maybe a difficult birthing process, but I'm here in the right place at the right time with the right people with so much grace. It's gonna be okay. So for the first time, I gave myself a complete yes to be completely here, just the way it is. That is a miracle. But I could talk about endless breakthroughs like that. But then the next day, there was this lightness in my being. So it's okay to let the thunderstorms rip through. We need not be afraid of them. And because of cognitive movement and my confidence now, I'm no longer afraid of my own intensity, of the intensity of the pain when it comes to visit. I know exactly how to meet it. And I used to get stuck in it. And I used to get endlessly depressed, like for months sometimes, and wanted to really do myself in because I had no way out of it. It was like a vortex. It would suck me in, and I'd call it the bottomless pit of pain. But now I have no worries about it. I'm relaxed, and when life kicks up its heels like it does, I know how to meet it. And I meet it with this authenticity, honesty, and courage. And no matter how hard it feels in that moment, I get through it. And then something happens, like the sun shines and there's rainbows in nature and in me.
Wouldn't you say that that really is, it's the motto of Cogno Movement. I think Bill coined it years and years ago about this work, that suffering is optional. The suffering part, that physical suffering in the body, and that we do have sadness, and sometimes we'll have a little anger, and sometimes we'll have, a range of emotions are normal, but the ongoing suffering is what becomes optional. For anyone using cognitive movement work, you recognize the feeling in the body and you know what it is. You recognize what it is. And it may be an unnecessary suffering. And I love that you share that you've had it out. You have the whole temper tantrum. You let yourself feel how you feel. And then a new story emerges. So let's dig in to this particular story today. So, Angelica, I'll share with everybody, you are one of our cognitive movement practitioners, but tell everybody who else you are and what else you do and where you are in the world.
Well, I'm in Northern California and I live in the woods off the grid on 80 acres of wilderness and on solar power. We don't have regular electricity, and I use a, composting toilet and have a garden, and we do everything ourselves here. I have a friend that lives with me on the land, and we're just living in a new in our own world and in a new paradigm because we have no expectations of each other, but we just help each other. Everybody contributes what they can, and we make each other's life easier without expectation and without the complications of the usual relationship stuff. And I go out and I do music programs for all various groups, healing workshops, or all kinds of different programs. And I'm an interfaith minister, so I love to guide ceremony. I do end-of-life ceremonies, weddings, birthdays, and other kind of celebrations, solstices, and anything that celebrates life. And I use music, inspirational speaking, guided meditations, and now Cogna movement. And then I also work with individuals. And my work is very, it has a lot of variation and beautiful. It's to me, it's very interesting because it's always different and changing. And I love variety. I don't like routine jobs. So I kind of give myself to that flow of life. So wherever I am called, I say yes and I go. And it's this flow
And you
state.
create instruments too. You build
Yes.
these beautiful instruments as well.
Yeah, I built some during COVID when all my events were canceled. I had no income, and I just started to build these instruments that have 25 strings. They are like a therapy instrument. They're a tambura monochord, and I built about 15 of them, and they went like hotcakes. And now I don't have time to make more, but I play guitar and I sing. I use my voice and I record music. So.
But everything was not so light always for
No.
you. No, you had an upbringing that is unique to a lot of people. And so Angelica's story starts really in Nazi Germany. Her parents lived through that. So we'll have her share a little bit about that. But before we dive in, I want to say that Angelica opened my eyes to something that I never thought of before. You know how sometimes you just don't even know the question to ask? And it was about the suffering of the German people also during World War I and World War II. And that it makes me think about how we love to have an enemy. There's right and wrong, good and bad, and it's black and white. And for most of us who are Americans, we were like, okay, the Germans, they were the bad guys. And maybe the Nazi Party was that, surely most people would agree. However, the German people were not necessarily that, and that we never think about how they suffered during and for a significant time after. And Angelica's story shows that that suffering continues today. So let's just start there, if you will, Angelica.
Okay, so my mom was born in 32, so she was a child during the war. And my dad was born in 1918, so when he was 17, he was drafted to go to Russia and fight in Russia for the Nazi Germany. And after the fact, I asked my parents, did you not know all the evil that was going on? And they said, no, we didn't. So there was huge propaganda. The information did not even come to the population, and the few that were actually opposing Nazi Germany or the policies and what was going on, they got usually put into the death camps and tortured to death. So there was very little even knowledge of what was going on behind the scenes. But besides this incredible trauma of being bombed, so my mom lived about an hour from her school, and air raid alarms would go off, and the kids were released. There were no school buses. They had to get home somehow. My mom would never make it home. So bombs would fall all around her before she could even make it home. And then, when my mom, on top of that, there is personal trauma in both of my mom and dad's families. My mom's mother, who was actually starving during the pregnancy with my mom, she used to bite into a pillow from hunger. She was pregnant with my mother. But my mom's mom, apparently left when my mom was 7 and she had an older sister who was 9, and so the kids were left. The mom just left with another man and started a new family because my mom's dad was abusive. So anyway, they had no food for 3 weeks. They were alone, and when dad came back, he farmed them out to relatives, but nobody wanted extra kids. Times were tough. So he ended up marrying right away to a woman that was extremely violent, and so she would beat my mother and her sister unconscious just for taking one little vegetable out of the garden. So that is the kind of violence, and many other tortures were she could never play, she had to work like a slave. My dad, in the meantime, had a family of 10 children. They were 10 children, my dad was one of them. And his father would beat them with chains and dunk them head first in a cesspool and just torture his own children. And that was the personal violence. So when my dad went to war in Russia, that was actually a relief. I think he, to some degree, enjoyed that adventure and being away from that home. But he got captured towards the end of the war in Czechoslovakia. He became a prisoner of war with the Russians, and he escaped somehow, and he walked home. He rode a wild horse that he found for 3 days until he fell off of it. Then he walked home in the devastation of Europe. My hometown, Kaiserslautern, Germany, southwest Germany, was heavily bombed because the air raids were focused on those places where there were factories. Pfaff, sewing machine factory, was a war factory at the time, a weapons factory, so that was heavily bombed. It also still has the biggest American Air Force base in Europe in that town. So when I was a child, there were still bomb craters everywhere. And so the personal violence, my parents were such good people, and I just honor them every day. I am so grateful to them for this life. But of course, some of the violence that they received came down to us kids. So I have one younger sister. She's 3 years younger than me. She's 68, I'm 71. And so she had even more trauma than I. We were beaten. We were, just that violence was passed on. They didn't know any different, and they had zero resources. So I'm not blaming my parents. They did an amazing job. They were also very, very loving people and giving and generous and kind, and they taught us so many wonderful things and made so many sacrifices for us. But you never knew, would it be the nurturing, loving, incredible, caring mother, or would it be the one that beat the shit out of you? You never knew that. So it was confusing and difficult. And in the work with my sister lately, I didn't know this. I found out that she used to self-harm. The psychological, emotional pain was so huge, she used to self-harm. And
So, Angelica, we need to take our first break. So let's pause there for just a moment on that cliffhanger, because the rest of the story really has to do with how you and your sister have come to an amazing healing. So we want to let everybody know that there is such a beautiful, really silver lining around this dark cloud. So everybody, let's take a quick break. I know you want to hear the rest and hear from our good sponsors at UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with NasalGuard for pet lovers. NasalGuard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try NasalGuard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about NasalGuard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, ant and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, and we're back, and we are talking with one of our dear friends and cognitive movement practitioner, plus so much more, Angelica Schaefer. And Angelica, you were starting to talk about your sister, which is where this story is going. And you said that you didn't know until recently that because of all the trauma you'd experienced, that for her, there was self-harm. So let's take it from there.
Yeah, and my sister also had, when she was 10 years old, became very ill. It was an autoimmune disease. She almost died, and then she was dependent in a wheelchair. She was in the hospital for a year. Nobody knew how to help her. So she went through so much trauma during her formative years, and I believe the illness came from just having no value, not feeling any worth, that she was always criticized and just... Even more, much more. She had more trauma than I did. I was the older sister. And I channeled all my energy into escaping. So I moved to Alaska as soon as I could. But anyway, so she stayed home and kept working with this heavy material and became an alcoholic for several decades. And then what happened is she took our mom, was her caregiver for four or five years in her home in my sister's home. And then when mom passed away in 2022, that was also her livelihood. And then her husband died, who was also her best friend, shortly after. And so then my sister went into this dark hole. She had herniated discs, pinched nerve, her left leg wasn't working, she had two surgeries. She went through this time where I was worried that she would die. And she said, I've lost my orbit. I can't find the inner strength anymore. So in the beginning of this year, I offered her to do sessions with cognitive movement, but she refused because I've offered her things before that didn't work for her and she didn't want to disappoint me. So at first she said no. And so then I tricked her. I said, look, I need your help. She's always willing to help. She's such a lovely person. So when I said, I need your help to help me transform these ancestral patterns and all this pain that our ancestors carry, we can do this together, but I need you. Then she was willing to do it. And so we started to do cognitive movement, but all we had was a little phone and WhatsApp. She doesn't have a computer. And so we started on this. And there's all this material on her lack of self-worth. We started with her stomach. She would wake up every single day with a stomach ache of anxiety. Oh, another day on earth. And I just had her feel it. And at first, she couldn't feel her body at all. But then somehow she was able to describe to me where she felt these things. And she moved her eyes. And she didn't have a ball until later. And we really didn't do that much of it. But her leg, which wasn't working, she had to literally lift it up and lift it and everywhere she needed it to be, her left leg. I also did a little work with her on the leg, like mapping it over and stuff. And we did a session every week for a couple hours maybe, but a lot of it was just sharing, you know, not all cognitive movement. But then I noticed she actually used cognitive movement when she got into a crisis. She used it. She used the eye movement. She got a little ball and did the cognitive movement on her own. And then she would report to me that she had, all of a sudden from this deep despair, she would see it all differently. And then something happened with a neighbor. A young man in the neighborhood was knocking on the door of his what he thought was his girlfriend, but apparently he was already an ex in the girlfriend's mind. And so the new boyfriend came out and beat him all up. And he was sitting on the doorstep crying. And my sister went out, realized there is an emergency. So she just used her finger and had him follow with his eyes. And she was able to calm that young man down to the point where he, instead of being foaming at the mouth and trembling and out of control, she got him to be clear-minded and asked him what he needed. And it resolved without further trauma. And then she also, her leg kept getting better. One time in a meeting, she was on her couch, and I saw her swing her left leg over her right leg without the assistance of her hand. I go, "What was that? Can you do that again?" And she told me that the leg was healing. And then sometime after that, she was able to play a little bit of soccer with her grandson and the neighborhood children, which, you know, she falls very easily. Her muscles are still weak. That illness that she had, it never totally resolved. So she dealt with falls. And then she would describe to me just recently how that would feel in her body when she fell, like a shock, adrenaline, like panic, total panic, like everything was lost. And she recently fell and hurt herself, but she sat on the floor and she was waiting for those symptoms and they didn't come. And she starts laughing her head off. She had just fallen headlong on a concrete floor and she starts laughing her head off. I mean, I go, "I'm going to come to you and study." Huh? So she is having breakthrough after breakthrough, and she no longer wakes up with that stomach ache and that anxiety. She is telling me that she's feeling really calm and confident and nothing bothers her. And when there's crisis, she's just like on top of her game. She's able to navigate the difficulties that come up with her daughter and her grandson and the other kids and all these relationships. She's navigating it with such wisdom and skill and calmness. And she says, "I don't know what you did, but I'm like, I have a different life. I'm like a different person." And I go, "Well, you know, you're more your true self. And we just moved some layers and layers of weight that was on top of your beautiful being." And as a result, we have this relationship now. We can go so deep with each other. And we can talk about all these, like, really difficult things. And yet there is such a love. There is such an openness and honesty. There are no more masks. There is no more, like, you know, trying to please the other person. It's all completely free and clear, authentic, loving, relating. Like, imagine with your sibling or family member, you could talk about anything freely without being afraid you're hurting their feelings or you're touching on something sensitive. If you could just be completely open and honest and just share as from human being to human being. Imagine what that would be like. And that's what I'm now experiencing with my sister. We always loved each other, but she put me on a pedestal and I couldn't reach her. Because when people put you up there, you know, there's no way to really get a true connection. And the other day she said, "You know, we're equal now." And she's able to let that in, that she has value, that she's important, that she is loved and a beautiful being. So it's huge. It's huge. I mean, it's a gift that I never even thought would be possible. I longed for that, but I had no idea how one could ever get there. But it was me doing a lot of my work with myself and my patterns that were, "Oh, let's find a tool and then I'll share it with you and I'll fix you," while I wasn't even fixed myself, you know. And it's not about fixing even, it's about actually meeting what is there. And when I realized how to do that through your help, everything changed. The relationship with myself and with others.
Yeah. Wow. I want to just digress for 2 seconds. You know, there was something really interesting that we learned about trauma, and that, you know, you think, "Oh, it's just my trauma. You know, it's I feel how I feel. I don't know why I feel how I feel, but I just do." And there was this experiment that Dr. Diaz at UCSD did, where he had these mice. He put them in a cage. They electrified the bottom of the cage. And he would take this fruity smell and he would wave it over the top of the cage. And then he would shock the mice. He did this repeatedly. He basically intentionally traumatized these mice. And then they took the egg and sperm out of those, inseminated it in other mice that had never had any contact with the traumatized mice. Those mice eventually gave birth. He took those mice, put them into a cage after they were grown up, put the fruity smell, the same fruity smell, over the top of the cage, and the mice went nuts. It was like, oh my gosh, something bad is going to happen. Well, that trauma was passed down, even though they hadn't, nobody did mice talk, you know, between generations, but then they took those offspring and took the egg and sperm out of them and did the same process again, you know, separating another generation. And you know what happened? The exact same thing. They were the generation after generation that the trauma endured. So I guess my question is knowing that, you know, it's one of the biggest things, you know, that's happened here in the past, you know, few centuries is Nazi Germany. You know, part of this was, you know, the intrapersonal traumas, you know, like how dad would and grandpa would, you know, do those abuses, but their feeling inside them came from somewhere, you know. And did you feel, because you're very, you know, you're sensitive, but did you feel the burden of that trauma from your past generations and, you know, the Holocaust and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I absolutely felt that, Bill, my whole life. So my experience growing up, even though there was also joy and beauty and sweetness, but the overall feeling was a sea of pain. I was in an ocean of suffering and pain that I didn't feel I could ever get out of or make better. So parents feel better, make everybody better, but it didn't work. And so I took that as a personal failure. And then that became this like, oh, I'm not good enough, you know, this whole lifelong theme. So yes, but there were also things like, example, when I was maybe 2 or 3, they were still sounding the air raid alarms. They're really loud sirens that would go off once a day. And I would ask my mom, Mommy, what is that? Like I could feel her terror. She didn't speak about it. And she'd always say, oh, you're too young to understand. But I could feel physically in my own body, her terror in her body when those air raid alarms went off. So yes, the trauma gets, and they actually, somebody wrote a book about that. The Forgotten Generation, which was my generation, the one after the war, born from the parents that were in the war. We didn't see the bombs. I never had, you know, any threat like that in my whole life. But it's in my system. It was in my nervous system. I live in Northern California. Every summer, there is huge threat of fires. I would see flames all summer long. I couldn't get it. I couldn't get my nervous system to calm down. I would feel a threat until I started to work with cognitive movement. And that actually now I don't worry. I just, you know, prepare if something happens. I know what to do. I'm not always seeing flames in my head anymore. So again, yeah, that was a good question. That does get passed down. If I hadn't done this work and if I had children, it would have passed down to them. And that was one of the reasons I consciously chose not to have children, because I knew I would pass on that trauma to them, and I didn't want to.
But the problem is that, you know, those generations, you know, 2, 3, 4 generations are far enough from it that they have no idea that it comes from a trauma 3 or 4 generations before. They know about what happened, but they don't know that that's why their body is reacting the way it's reacting. It almost sounds like having a phantom, you yes. know, a phantom menace in your body. So you and your sister started using cognitive movement. And it's not just she who created major gains from this. You did too. So let's take our next break. And when we come back, let's talk about that, how you blossomed together, you know, at the same time. So UK Health Radio are our good sponsors. Let's take it away.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet mixed with water and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colors or preservatives. Just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UKRADIO to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Back, and we are talking with Angelica Schaefer. And I know in this conversation, a lot of the subject matter is heavy, but there's such miraculous lightness to the story. And, you know, Angelica shared about her sister going out and playing ball, soccer, with her grandson and the neighbor kids. And she's become such a magnet to these neighbor kids that she's really an inspiration to them too. And you've shared that she's teaching them to cook and helping them with schoolwork. And to me, that's just my favorite part of the story, is not only that she recovered her own happiness and is becoming more of who she really is, but that she's inspiring a generation. So will you share with us a little bit more about that, about how both of you have blossomed and become more of who you really are?
Wow, that is such a rich question. I don't even know where to start, because, you know, as it happens gradually, I share the stories as we go. But in this moment, I mean, there are so many. But my sister, basically, her nervous system is in a calm state. It's in a confident, calm, relaxed state. So when she works with the kids, they come, you know, they might fight, or they might be stressed out, or they might be too rowdy. There is an emanation that comes, a frequency that comes from her that affects the kids, and they listen to her and they're interested in her stories. And also her daughter, she comes home from work, she's a single mom and all stressed out, and her daughter comes down. So my sister has noticed that her nervous system, others in train with her, or that young man that she helped out at this crisis, but also in the grocery store. So she goes to the grocery store. There are many grouchy, aggressive people in Germany. You know, Germany is much more crowded than here. They've let in all the refugees. There's so much crime and conflict and tension. It's really a different climate there. So so people are also very rude. They don't say excuse me and walk by. They just kind of like elbow each other out of the way. It's just kind of a cultural thing. So in the store, this woman was deliberately just taking forever at the freezer to read the labels and noticing that my sister was waiting. And my sister didn't react. She didn't even say, "Hey, excuse me, can I get my food there?" She just waited, and she was curious what would happen. And the woman just played out her little ego game for like 10 minutes, and my sister just stood there and waited and smiled internally and just curious what would happen. And then the woman finally left, and she kind of looked, because she was trying to provoke my sister, but my sister wasn't biting. So the woman kind of looked and in astonishment, like, here is someone that didn't play my game of aggression. And, you know, I'm sure that made a little change in that woman and in the whole store. So it's like little things or big things. Like for me, the big thing with the fires, you know, for me to not have that anxiety every single day and be so hyper vigilant. And it's like you said, Liz, I didn't see the bombs falling, but I always had the feeling, when is that next bomb going to drop? When is that next threat coming? I felt life was not safe in a very deep, fundamental way. And that has changed for me. So now I notice in my events, when I speak to groups or when I work with individuals, even with the music, there is now a different energy. I was always able to channel inspiration because that's a big part of my being, but it was a little bit restricted through those trauma layers. Now what I realize, it's coming through fully, the inspiration and that connection to universal intelligence, you could say, or source energy, is just coming out so powerfully that I am watching it and I'm going, wow, that is amazing. It's not an ego thing. It's just like, wow, what is coming through? This is so magical. That's what I always wanted. So it's affecting all of my work and all of my life.
I think that when the trauma is not your body's main focus anymore, who you really are just naturally emerges. Yeah. It's like cream rising to the top. It just comes to the top, this beautiful nature of who you really are. And you're an extraordinary person anyway. You always have been. You handled this differently, like moving to Alaska, flying airplanes, and really being a daredevil and seeking. You've sought your whole life for a spiritual awakening. I would like to ask you, why do you think that this modality of cognitive movement was able to take you to that next level, to change things for you and your sister so profoundly? What do you think, as a cognitive movement practitioner, is the key that unlocked this for you guys?
So I see it like this. So when we have when we think we have a monster in the closet, we're always afraid. We're not opening that closet. And it's like scary. There's always this underlying fear. So when we finally open that door and the monster goes, "Ha, here I am," and we meet it, we actually lose that fear where we always have to spend so much energy to keep it at bay. So with the cognitive movement, it's many things, but one is a safe space, a safe container, where we are non-judgmental. I noticed with everyone I work with how much we judge ourselves, how much inner conflict there is, how much we are upholding the false programming and saying, oh, I should be nice when I feel angry. I should be nice when I feel horrible. And all these like inner contortions. So in cognitive movement, we go very honestly into whatever is there, and we together with a friend, like as a practitioner, I see myself as a friend. Here, I am here with you. We'll look at this together. Just with curiosity, there is no judgment. And so with that safety, that nothing is off the table, we can take a look into that basement, into the closet where there's all this like scary stuff. And we can hold it together and look at it and then allow through the movement of the eyes, which accesses different brain centers, we can take a whole new look at things, a wider, bigger, more expanded look, which then helps us to integrate this scary material that we all carry. I haven't met one human being that doesn't carry. Even I've studied with many masters from East and West. Each one of them carries certain, you know, energies or inner things that are still a part of their humanity, no matter how masterful they get spiritually.
Yeah. Do you think that your nervous system was time traveling that place in time, constantly trying to make a repair that you just didn't have the tools to repair?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good way to put it, Liz. I spent so much energy searching for the solution, which seemed like it was elusive. And I spent so much energy just keeping at bay these overwhelming pain that wasn't even mine. I mean, some of it maybe, but I had taken it on from that culture, from the parents, and I don't know. It's like being freed, like you used to the example of we're pulling this tractor trailer with this gigantic, you know, load of, you know, heavy rocks, and it's like declutching from that. So I don't have to carry all that stuff anymore. But when stuff comes up from life, which it always does, we're here in an evolving world. We are evolving, so there will always be material to work with. That's the game we play. It's also the gist of things. But I have the confidence that I can meet it with skill and more intelligence. And I think humanity is not going about our own condition with intelligence, because we weren't taught. So it's no one's fault. And that's a big other thing about cognitive movement that's so helpful. I always tell my clients, it is not your fault. It never was your fault. You never did anything wrong. And I keep reaffirming that message with myself, that I wasn't a bad person after all. I wasn't so horrible. I wasn't such a monster like I thought I was. It's just I was programmed in a way that was detrimental to my own well-being and everybody else's well-being. And now I have undone to a great degree this programming, so I can function from a higher intelligence and with greater skill, which you are teaching these amazing skills. And just like, to me, this is the biggest gift in this life of, you know, of all time.
So amazing. Is that how it felt to you, that you were a horrible human being?
Yeah. All my life, I felt bad. I felt so bad about myself. I felt like, you know, I was selfish, and I had so many judgments, and I was rough. I also brought through those rough patterns that I grew up with, you know, aggression and mean and short and impatient. I had all those qualities that I would express when I would get frustrated. I wasn't soft with people. And now it's, I realized those were patterns. I don't need to keep beating myself up. And I can now share the way to come to more peace within ourselves, even with all those things that we criticize and see we are weak, you know, in.
All right, you guys, we've come to the end of the show. This was so amazing. Thank you for sharing your story with us, Angelica. Before we go, would you please just briefly tell people how they can work with you? And people can work with you anywhere in the world, right?
Yeah, I work with someone in Africa. I work with people in Germany. Zoom is amazing. So my website has a contact page. It's probably the easiest for right now. It's Angelica with a K. So Angel, I-K-A, healingmusic.com. So Angelica, healingmusic.com. But the computer will correct it to a C, so make sure it's spelled with a K.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. And Bill, thanks for being here today with us for this amazing story and, you know, being a part of the journey with Angelica and with myself and with our whole Cognitive Movement family. All right, you guys, until next week, be safe and be well. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for being here with us on the New Life Perspective Radio Show. For more information or to find out more about the work that Bill and I do, please visit us at cognomovement.com or email us at info@cognomovement.com. See you again soon.